Yo, what's up, everybody out there, man? Y'all know who this is. This is the Golden Voice, the host of the Fade Hour live episode again. Maul, I go by the moniker Bruise in boxing. And speaking of Bruise, I'm holding a brew from Two Evil Brewery called a Saigon Scooter Selfie. Never had it before, but it's like a Vietnamese style coffee stout. Tastes pretty good. But I'm joined by my two right-hand man. I'm right-hand men. I'm going to let them go ahead and introduce themselves.
What up, world? It's your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Got a little bit of cookie dough. Got a little bit of platinum OG. Y'all already know what it is with me, man. About to get faded, turn up, talk about these fights like we do every night. Let's get it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke at Free Smoke Boxing. In one hand, I have Pacific Punch, which is 8.7 alcohol beer. On the other hand, I got Purple Punch. So let's get right to it.
Yeah. Purple Punch. Yeah, Purple Punch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As far as getting to it tonight, everybody out there, we're going to cover the news that the Wilder and Brazil fight that is expected to be announced for May 18th is going to be targeted for pay-per-view. And so, like I said, we're going to give our quick thoughts on that. And then we're going to transition, giving our final thoughts on the upcoming Ugas and Sean Porter card and fight that's this Saturday. And also kind of preview what we're going to be heavily discussing next week, which is the Spence and Mikey Garcia fight. Woo! So, yeah, man, let's go ahead and get into it. Again, we just got word maybe a little bit before we went on air that, with the top rank offer to Deontay Wilder of $12.5 million, rumored to be around that amount, that Showtime's kind of answer to that is to place this fight on pay-per-view. And so I just want to ask my fellas how they feel about that. If that does come to a fight that is going to be placed on pay-per-view, do you guys think it's a good move, a bad move? Why do you guys think it's happening? And, your thoughts on it overall.
Let me channel my inner soldier boy, which I can only do so well. But pay-per-view? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Pay-per-view for Wilder versus Brazil? I want to know what else PBC, which now stands for Pushing Bullshit Cards, mm-hmm. is offering up with that pay-per-view. Like, when you go to the theater, is Deontay Wilder going to be there, like, before his fight? If you order the fight at home, do they send you, like, a bag of weed with it? I mean, what are they thinking? And shout out to Al Haymon, because he's a great business mind. But I don't know what they're thinking, because Wilder Brazil is – that's not a Fox fight. That's like – it's Showtime Championship Boxing, but it's not a fight worth pay-per-view. And paying – unless they stack the undercard, and by stack the undercard, I mean like – have the dudes who haven't been fighting for the past 2 years actually fight each other, that is getting a hard pass from me. I will feel that.
And before News answer, man, I just want to inject quickly that when I think about who they could have on the card, like, obviously it's going to be like B-level, C-level people, it seems to be the people that they could use has been active recently and they won't be available well come May, in 2 months, basically. So, I'm not sure who the hell they can have on an undercard at the second when I think of their roster that would be worthy enough to saying, yeah, I don't like the main event, but shit, I'll think about getting it because these fights are going to be on that. You know what I'm saying? There ain't nothing else to really to hold. I don't think they're going to have anything else to hold an interest on the undercard, but that's just I quickly injected my bad news.
Oh, no, no problem, man. This fight, come on, man. The fight already is barely a fight I want to see. And then not only are we going to make it hard enough for me to tune in, but you're going to put it on pay-per-view too? Like, I mean, I understand, like, Deontay Wilder needs his money because he deserves to get paid, like I said on the previous episode of the Fade Hour, just like every other heavyweight fighter. Anthony Joshua getting $30 million checks. We talking about Tyson Fury signing $80 million contracts. Deontay Wilder need that money too, so the only way he's going to be able to get it through PBC is via through Showtime pay-per-view. And unfortunately for us, the fans, and then probably unfortunately for them, a lot of people are not going to be able to tune in or won't tune in, because unless that fight is like $39.99, like old Mike Tyson, Don King fights in the mid-90s,
bro,
if they don't come in with that $39.99 cable vision price, then I'm not trying to see it.
Was that the price of Postal and Crawford?
I mean,
I can't remember. I thought it was like $49.99.
And that might have been one of the worst pay-per-views that we've had right. recently. This is angling the top that as far as fights that should not be pay-per-view.
Yeah, and so news to you said $39.99. I think $39.99 for that fight is disrespectful to the viewer. So the way that I see, like, it's kind of fucked up. All these channels, you got The Zone doing pay-per-view, you have ESPN doing pay-per-view, you have Showtime doing, or The Zone doesn't do pay-per-view, it just charges every month. You have all these companies doing pay-per-view again, right? So it's kind of like when Lyft and Uber first came out, right? And it was like, oh, you know, you just have to pay the driver and they get a good amount of it. And so now if you take a Lyft or an Uber or something like that, they ask you the tip at the end, right? I mean, Mal, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
So they ask you the tip at the end. What they don't say is the reason that we want you the tip and we're asking you the tip is because we're screwing over our drivers. So in this analogy, the drivers are us, the fans. And so, I don't know. I mean,
this right. fight need to have a mail-in rebate so we can get some money yeah. back. Fill out this form, and we'll give you $15 back within the next 2 months.
$15.35. Now, if it was, okay, we have Gary Russell Jr. versus Leo Santa Cruz is the opening fight, and then you right. have Marcus Brown versus whoever PBC's 175 guy is. Like, okay, I'd pay, like, $23 for that. Where's the extra fucking $47 coming from?
Yeah, I mean, and let me ask y'all this, man. With this being that this is the way they, in a sense, feeling that they have to pay Wilder, man, like bargaining power and stuff like that. When it comes to angling future fights, does this firmly place him on the B side with a rematch with Fury? Assuming they both rematch soon and both are still undefeated.
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with no.
I'm gonna say no.
This that has everything to do with Bob Arum wanting to have a part of the heavyweight pie, and so once again, unsurprisingly, Bob Arum is fucking over the fight fans.
Hey, I mean, he just offered it.
I mean, what's it called? No, Mal, you walk into work tomorrow and they're like, hey, instead of paying you what we're paying you now, do you want to make $400,000 a year, but you have to be on pay-per-view all the time doing whatever the fuck you do at work? It's like, no one's going to turn that down.
I was about to say, right.
So it's like, yo, Al Heyman, the people in charge of pushing bullshit cards, make your money through merch. Do all that shit. Don't force us to pay $25 to go to a fucking movie theater, let alone $70 to sit at home, smoke some weed, drink some liquor, and watch a fight. Like, I'd pay $15 a month for Showtime already.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Why isn't that fight on Fox?
Right. Exactly. So
why is it, no, makes no sense.
So Wilder has this big personality, right? Like, Wilder has this big personality. He's not, like, the best trash talker or whatever, but he has a presence to him, no homo. And so you put that dude on Fox, in against Dominic Brazil and he scores the highlight knockout that he's going to, it goes from bubbling star and like people that dudes know about to, oh, did you see the guy who knocked the guy out through the ropes on Fox? And it's like, I just don't understand it.
Yeah, and you know what, in my opinion, and it's weird because I felt that maybe a year or two ago, like, PBC shows, whatever, whoever's handling Wilder, that they were doing a good job of marketing him and building him up. But, like, now it just seems like they're just letting him do it all on his own. And it's strange that they're allowing that to happen because, like Smoke said, while I think he's a great, he's intriguing. Like, when he talks, I like to listen. And I always want to, and he has that you want to tune in. He's kind of getting to that you want to tune in to see him lose. You know how people see him now. Like, he's getting to that Floyd level of, like, since he builds himself up that much and he has a way of making you intriguing and want to see him, and it's weird because, like, I don't see him anywhere until it's fight time when they're doing press runs everywhere. And I hate that because why can't he be doing things outside of the ring throughout the year to kind of build up his profile? Because right. I think he's very marketable. You know what I'm saying? He has the knockout. He has the record that's marketable. He has the knockout power that's marketable. He has the look like the heavyweight. And like I said, you can say what you want about him. The dude is real gracious and courteous. He's always a good interview when I listen to him. Anytime he gives an interview, is always good and thought-provoking. But it seems like they're not doing enough to push him. Like you see with AJ. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know it's different, but you see what I'm saying? Like, it's weird. I think he can be a marketable star.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, he should be. They have to market him.
A year ago, Deontay Wilder was on Desus and Mero, right? And you guys both know within the past 4 years, I've called Wilder a dude who has a resume that is a who's who of guys who sleep in their cars. That was 4 years ago, right? And I'm a Deontay Wilder fan now because of his personality. So it's like, put that dude on Fox. Do not put him on pay-per-view. The idea that they're bringing pay-per-view back for anything besides like a Mikey versus Spence type fight, to me, it's just it's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
I, like I said, the only way I could see it is because of the purse that Wilder – will be commanding, because at the end of the day, he deserves it. Because if that's what the other heavyweights are getting, that's what he deserves.
Yeah, I understand. Well, and I know what you mean. And plus, he's a belt holder, too. He's been a belt holder for some years now. Doesn't have a loss on this record, regardless of what anybody might think. And like I said, we all like personalities, man. He's one of the top three personalities in boxing now.
I mean, Wilder might even be able to crack it on the fade hour.
Right, exactly.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Definitely would love to have Wilder on here. As a matter of fact, what's crazy is the last fade hour we did, my Facebook profile thing popped up like last year, and I was at the Wilder-Ortiz fight. So I was actually that was last episode 27. That's when I seen Wilder put the end to Luis Ortiz's reign of being the boogeyman. So we definitely like to see the bomb squad on here. I would drop a bomb squad, but, you know, like I said, the cookie dough and the platinum OG got me already. Got me talking in the Trader Truth voice. Oh, so.
Yeah. Trader Truth.
So, first of all, since you're talking about that, I have to bring this up. Like, right before – not right before, like 3 months before the, what's it called? The Fury Wilder fight, right? It was right after Povetkin got his ass beat by Joshua. I was like, hey, we should do the Bomb Squad Challenge, right? And so, please, my friends, what did you tell me?
Hell to not. Hey.
And why not? Why not?
I said straight up, I don't got the complexion for protection to be screaming bombs and shit out though. Right.
Randomly go scream bomb squad. So yeah. I probably won't even get the squad out as soon as I start with the bomb.
I'm a brother, bro. It wouldn't look too good for me out there trying to scream bombs as a brother. Nah, I ain't gonna do it. I will not be in the fade hour anymore.
So So that was just like some funny shit. And what it was even funnier about that is like I've pulled bomb squads in like public areas.
Like you still live.
Hey, man. Yo, I mean, y'all my brothers in heart.
But yeah.
Well, yo, shout out to Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder, if you listen to this, you respond to the news one time, hit us up. We would love to have you on the show and hear your side of the story.
Even if you don't, man. Again, shout out to Deontay Wilder for keeping it real, man. A lot of these boxers don't keep it real.
Some of these boxers are half street dudes, half boxers.
You are about to use a mad different word, and I know the word that you are about to use. Shout out to Deontay Wilder for him pushing black power and empowering other black people in the United States. And that's a huge thing to me as a white dude.
Yeah, Deontay Wilder definitely takes that on his shoulders, stands up. He's speaking in front of anybody in any place and stands up at the podium, doesn't blink, takes the shades off so you can see that he means it. I respect him, definitely. That's what I'm saying. Shout out to Deontay Wilder, man. I hope he continues up his success. For real.
Yep, no doubt,
bomb
man.
Bomb squad.
Yep. And, let's – like I said, we talked about it the last time we had the fade hour, but let's just give the last little thoughts on the on Porter and Ugas, man. I know I was the only one out of the whole cast of bandits who going with Ugas, just basically because I like to see an upset. I mean, if I was betting my mortgage on it, I would say Porter, but just to daring to be different, daring to be great, pulling the Mikey Garcia, I'm going to pick Ugas, man. But
wow.
Yeah, I'm going that route, man. But like I said, to a man, I do think Porter will be too much for him. I think that his experience, I do think his tenacity, I do think his work rate and his ability to take punches, man, and will be too much for Ugas. The few fights that I've seen of him, I don't see him having the punching power to make Porter seem hesitant. So, like I said, Ugas is my upset, I'll be drinking pick, but, you know, when a sober mind is picking Porter. I'm not hedging my bets. All jokes aside, John Porter, unanimous decision. Straightforward win.
So here's the thing about that. I also think Porter's going to win, but I think it's going to be a damn good fight because Ugas, even though his last fight was against Delorme, right?
No, Delorme was Vargas. Not Thomas Delorme. You talking about somebody else, right?
I don't fucking know. Who's the last guy? Who's the last guy Ugas fought?
The last guy that Ugas fought?
Yeah.
The last guy that Ugas fought was some nobody dude. I thought it was an Argentina dude.
Yeah, nobody that's really worth.
But he fought Delorme, right?
Yep. Yes. He fought Delorme in 2017. I'm looking at it now. Last time he – yeah, 2017, he won unanimous decision.
Shout-outs to the Loud for making me forget something that happened a year and a half ago and thought that it happened 6 months ago. But shout-out to the Loud. So here's my thing with Ugas. Ugas can crack. And he knocked Delorme down, if I'm remembering correctly, a very short, compact punch. And so, if you're a footwork watcher, and if you're new to this podcast, what that means is you look at fighters from the feet up, pause, and because of that, you look at their kind of technical ability, because technical ability always starts with your ability to move around the ring, and then you add on to it with the jab. Porter, after he, whatever you want to score the Danny Garcia fight, he clearly won it, right? So I think that he has upped his boxing level, but the thing about Porter is, no matter what, he wants to make it a fight. Like, he will only box a dude like Danny Garcia that he is coming into the fight like weary of the power. So here's the thing. Ugas, like I said, he can kind of crack, and his timing is deceptive. So if you look at the way that he fights, right, he doesn't fight like a traditional Cuban fighter, which is like, you know, a keep away and then just wait for the perfect moment. Like, he kind of, you know, he kind of brings it. And so I think that if Sean Porter does some of his, like, kind of unconventional stuff, and by unconventional stuff, I mean, like, his football shit, like, the same thing, if he fights the fight he did against Adrian Granados, I'm still picking Porter, but it'll be super close. Now, if he fights
I didn't like how he looked against Granados. Yeah, I didn't like
So, that. If he fights the fight he fought against Danny Garcia, I could see him winning 9-3 or something. But Ugas will fight with you, and when you start fighting, Porter is gonna fight back. But I got Porter by split or majority.
I got Sean Porter either winning by knockout or by 117-111 with the knockdown or two.
Okay.
This is about to be a step up in competition for Ugas. This is about to be a step down in competition for Sean Porter. At the end of the day, Sean Porter has been at a level that Ugas is still trying to ascend to. So even with Sean Porter having an off night type of fight like he did with Granados, I think that would be enough because Ugas is a come forward fighter. I can't see him being on his back foot boxing him like Granados was doing, which I can see him coming forward and some, which plays right into Sean Porter's hands, which is also why I'm picking Sean Porter to win by knockout as my first choice, because I think he's going to wear him down. I think he's going to start knocking him down around the 10th round.
Kind of like the Berto fight, in a sense.
Yeah, Sean Porter is very...
The Berto fight was I apologize for cutting you off. The Berto fight was a little bit different. Sean Porter beat the living shit out of Berto.
Right.
It's Berto, though.
Oh, who's that? Who showed up?
I know, better late than never, though.
Yo, P, speaking clout.
What up? You already know what it is, boy. P, that's the ringside rave, bodega boxing. But as for Porter Ugas, it's tough to call for me. I'm going to go Porter 115, 113, like a close one. But I think Ugas is going to bring it. And to News's point, he said, oh, well, you know, this is a step up in, you know, for Ugas. You know, he's never faced this level of competition. But if we can recall, we could have said the same thing about one Cal Brook when he fought Sean Porter. That was a step up for Cal Brook. He never fought anybody as good as Porter at the time. But I definitely think Ugas is a live dog because I think his style actually goes well against Porter because of his technical ability and his power and his, like, he's strong. Porter can't. I don't know if Porter's going to be able to out muscle him like he could, like everybody else. Because Ugas is a strong guy, so he has, you know, size on him. So it's going to be interesting to see how Porter deals with the size. I think he's going to be bigger than he's bigger than Porter. So, and he's technically sound. So he's going to make it a fight. So I'll still give it to Porter. Very close. It's going to be close either way. I wouldn't be surprised that either guy getting this.
P.
Yeah, what up?
If you had to place a bet on Ugas, and actually this is a question for everyone. If you were a gambling degenerate, like some of our friends are, and I'm not going to name names.
I'm halfway there, so.
I'm not going to name names. P just outed himself. Pause. What would you put on Ugas just for a straight win? And my answer, and I apologize, P, is $45 because I give him a 45% fuckery chance to win.
He's a 3-1. He's a 3-1 underdog right now. The last time I checked, so I might put down 100, just a throwaway 100.
News said I said what I said.
All I just gotta say is, man, people should
My name is my name.
Watch should have rewatched Sean Porter versus Danny Garcia. Rewatch Sean Porter versus Keith Thurman. Rewatch Sean Porter versus Adrian Broner. People bring up the Kell Brook fight, but they forget all that fight was before those fights. Sean Porter's gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that Saturday night.
Has he gotten better, though? Yeah. Or has he gotten better, though? Do you think he's really gotten that much better since the Kell Brook fight?
Yeah. You can't tie him up like Kell Brook was doing. Kell Brook was employing the Klitschko tactics.
Well, you said you can't clinch him like you could before. Maybe he hasn't fought anybody since Kell Brook that could do the things that Kell Brook could do to him. Remember, all the guys you mentioned that he fought afterwards aren't really that much bigger than Porter and can't match up physically with him just strength for strength wise.
Yeah, so, since the Brook fight, he fought Eric Bone, Broner, Thurman, Berto, and Granados and Garcia.
And I would argue Andre Berto's strength against anybody's.
Really?
Yeah, I would. What? Andre Berto, and we saying Ugas has power. He has 11 knockouts. Yeah, his last, and even his power, who's he knocked down even in his recent run? He's knocking out nobody.
Well, so
power. Hold on. I let y'all cut me off in the first time. He's knocking out who? He's not knocking out no Sean Porters, and Sean Porter has never been knocked out. He hasn't even been knocked down except for by Adrian Broner.
We're taking Ugas
and his power. Like, what is he going to do against Sean Porter? Because he's a come forward fighter.
I don't think Ugas is going to knock him out at all. So
Kell Brook power.
I never argued that he would knock him out.
I'm saying power. We were talking power.
I think he has respectable power enough to at least where Porter can't really maul him. Like, I mean, he can, but it's not like you could just not have to worry about it. Just bum rush him and just take unnecessary hits.
I mean, with no disrespect intended, but what's power when you got 11 knockouts with that caliber of opposition?
True.
Yeah.
He ain't fought nobody.
News, you're making a great point. And the only thing I'll say to that, and this is with me picking Porter by majority decision, is that Ugas and Porter fight, at least from what I have seen, fight to the level of their competition. And so, if you have Porter fighting the same fight that he fought against Adrian Granados style opponent that has true welterweight power, and by that I don't mean, oh, he's knocking cats out left and right. I mean, he has power that when you hit it, instead of, instead of not feeling it, you feel it right away, and shout out to P, because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. And so, all that being said, if Porter fights down to his competition, and he only looks at this as, like, just kind of a Mando, before he fights the winner of Spence versus Garcia, he could be in a bit of trouble. All that being said, I pick Porter by majority decision, and I think we all pick Porter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just making a case for Uga.
No. Pete, that's a great case to be made. So, Mal, I know this is usually your thing, but I really want to know. If y'all were gambling degenerates, how much would you put on Ugas? So, P, you said 100. I said 45. Mal?
I'd probably bet a beer, about
$8.
I'm keeping it low.
I'd
bet a beer on it, man. I bet a stout on it.
Yeah, a strong stout, though.
Yeah, exactly.
$8 to $12. News?
Right.
I'm bet. On Ugas winning?
Yeah, fuckery bet.
I'm not wasting money. I'm a Sagittarius.
I mean, at, At three to one.
Y'all already know me, man. Y'all already know me. I go with the odds that the Vegas people say, but with me, it's either yay or nay, and it's a 0% chance for me, baby.
So you basically on a 1 to 5 on a level of 5 being the highest. You'd probably be a 5 if Ugas won Saturday.
I'd be extremely shocked if Ugas won. That'd be like the biggest upset of like the I don't know how I would describe it. I can't even imagine Ugas winning. Like, he doesn't have the resume. He doesn't have the power. And Sean Porter has everything going in his favor.
Harrison beat Charlo 4 months ago. And I would say it will be the biggest upset or equivalent upset since then.
Now, see, that was a little different to me because I thought Charlo was robbed. Like, I didn't think Charlo lost that fight.
What are you about to say, P?
Ugas actually winning. Like, we clearly beating him where we all just, hey.
Okay.
I don't think Ugas will win. But I think there's enough of a chance for him to win that I'll at least like throw a little bit down because I said the same thing about when it came to Pacquiao Horn and Horn was a 4-1 underdog. I'm like, I put down just a little bit just to fucking just you know make it a possibility. And
just
I didn't. And I didn't, and I ended up kicking myself in the fucking face afterwards for not doing it because I would have won $400.
Shout out to P for being able to kick himself in the face. In Chicago, we are auditioning field goal kickers. P, you might want to change your career.
Let me just ask y'all a quick question, man. Speaking of getting ass kicked and kicked in the face and shit around, man. Like,
oh man,
this is a little quick question I thought about throughout the day. Like, who's to blame for the mostly for when we know boxers are washed up, but yet they're still able to fight. Like Robert Guerrero. Like, are we blaming him? Are we blaming the promoters? Are we blaming the doctors for clearing him? Like, people that we obviously know should not be in the goddamn ring.
I mean, I gotta blame him.
Yeah, I only blame a promoter because at the same time, even though they washed up, it's not on them to take themselves out.
Right, because I know they got to make. If you can clear me, I'm gonna get my money. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to stop a person from making a living, but y'all know what I mean. In some cases, we like you should not be out here. So,
I mean, you can't blame the doctors because it's not like unless these guys have like an actual condition that would bring up a red flag for them to actually fight. For Ghost, I don't think there is any. I just think he just washed up. They could suffer more of a beating. So
right. I guess that's kind of what I mean, right? You see what I'm trying to say, though, P?
Let me throw out what I think is a decent example. So, when was the last time that John Molina Jr. fought?
It was.
Didn't he just fought like
he just a fought? Yeah, he fought on. Yeah, he fought Figueroa.
I
don't mean before Figueroa because I didn't watch that fight. Okay, so you have a guy like John Molina Jr., right? So from the time he started boxing until it got to about Olympic trials, right? He has won every fucking award in his state, right? Golden Gloves, national tournaments, so on and so forth, right?
Right.
And because of that, anyone who has been an athlete before, who has been a successful athlete, or not even an athlete, who has been successful in their life, when you have shit like that happen to you, especially at a young age, your confidence is through the roof, right? So, John Molina, right? The guy that I'm talking about has won several. He won at least several. He won several different awards, right, until he became a pro. And I don't think he's ever held a title as a pro. But he's like, what, 35-7?
Right.
So his entire life, he has been built up by someone telling him, dude, you are the fucking man, right? Like, you are the man through high school, you are the man through college years, and until you ran into a tough opponent or someone that was better than you, by really when you get to that level, not that much. So tell me, if you're John Molina and you got people hyping you up your entire life, right? And then Al Heyman or whoever handles Bob Arum, Al Heyman, Eddie Hearn, any of these fast money motherfuckers comes to you and say, hey, you know, I know you haven't fought in like 8 months, but would you like 400 grand to fight a dude that's on the come up? And tell me how in the world, with someone that has been built up like that, who could have that confidence, would turn down that money.
I mean, just because you was the man and you was the man back in high school, I don't see what that got to do with now. You got to, I mean, have clarity.
I feel it because
Sebastian was the man in high school back around these parts, and now look at him. Like, I don't give a fuck what that look. That's old news. Like, I mean, I get it, but you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
They do it all the time. The most famous example is when Don King went up and knocked on the door of Larry Holmes with $3 million.
Right.
And brought him back to get knocked out by Mike Tyson. Larry Holmes told us the story about how he told Don King he was washed up. But $3 million, and what was that, 1988?
Right.
Like that.
So that's,
you know,
like
for
three
a 39-year-old Larry
now.
Holmes, who hadn't fought in a couple of years,
he was on the couch.
That knockout.
So
he didn't.
So all I'm saying to counter that argument is, if you have someone who has been told since they were, you know, since they started boxing, like, yo, bro, you're the man. You are probably the best fighter in this gym. And whether that resonates through pro results or not, how can you tell that dude? Like, a perfect example, like I said, John Molina. How can you tell that dude, even if he has 7 losses and hasn't knocked the dude out in a long time, how can you tell him, hey, bro, we're going to give you 250 racks for a fight, and I want you to think that you're not going to win?
Well, I'll say it like this. I don't think they believe they're going to win.
I really don't. I think what he's thinking
is that I'm good enough to survive and not get knocked out for 12 rounds and get that $250,000, because John Molina Jr. could not be looking at going into a fight at this stage of his career after the wars that he's been in. Like, yeah, I'm going to pull this off. If anything, he got to hope his face stays put together.
And that's kind of how I think of another fighter that came to mind when I actually, you know, when it crossed my mind, was like John Pascal. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I see him out there now, I'm like, come on, man. Like,
I get it, man. You know you got a wife.
I get it, but at the same time, sometimes you just gotta smarten up. I mean, look at perfect example. Look at Ruslan Provodnikov.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta say, and there's enough getting your face broken in, no matter how much punishment you're able to take. There's calling, you know, enough is enough. And that's what Provodnikov's smartened up. He's not coming back.
What about this? Because we're saying that we gotta smarten up. Now, what happens when they get smart too fast? I.e. Victor Ortiz.
Yo.
He found out early that he didn't want no work. He said, when Marcus Madonna whooped that ass, he said, I'm too young to be getting beat like this.
He said, fuck that.
He made that decision then.
So I think that Victor Ortiz, whenever he fights, should come out to the song No Problems by Chance the Rapper, except like remix it a little bit, like, I don't want no problems. And I have a specific thing with Victor Ortiz, because, what's it called? When I was at the Mikey Easter fight, Victor Ortiz walked right by me. And I was like, hey, Victor, what's up? Can I get a picture or an autograph? Not in a groupy way at all. Just like, hey. And he was like, no. And it's like, bro.
Who the fuck are you?
You have quit more times than and I only box for fuck, I never even boxed like for real. He's quit like 4 or 5 times.
Wow, so, that motherfucker said no? Right.
Not only did he say no, the level of disrespect that he said no with, it was like you would have thought that I was sitting in section 580, not section 1-1. And like, yo, Victor Ortiz, when I see you again, I'm going to tell you that you're a bitch for that. And you might break my face, but that's okay.
He will.
He will.
He will. Ain't no might.
Man, who the fuck is this Mexican man to fucking look down on anybody? Like, fuck out of here.
Especially your boy Smoke. Look down on me and disrespect me. So anyway, my whole thing is you have dudes like Victor Ortiz who have these inflated egos because they have been told since they started boxing or being an athlete or whatever, like, yo, you're the man. Like, you knock motherfuckers out and so on and so forth. So if you get to the point where, like, the movie money dries up and, like, you stop getting backstage passes to fights, shout out to Victor Ortiz.
And that dancing with the stars money runs out.
Yeah.
And so then when someone's like, hey, you know, will you take 100K to fight Andre Berto in a rematch of your fight from 10 years ago? At the time, it was 8 years ago, and get the shit beat out of you. I'm sure he took that phone call like, shit, I can't even make a good analogy. But he took that phone call, and he was like, fuck yes, I will do it.
But yeah.
And the minute he gets his shit rocked, he fucking quit. He probably planned for like 4 weeks in advance to look for a way out, to get out with the bag and not take any more punishment.
I say, like, you know what he remind me of? He remind me of them dudes that be talking all that trash who are, I don't know if y'all do it where y'all from, but where I'm from in Cleveland, where we grew up, you know, we used to slap
Shout
box
out
a lot.
To Ohio.
Slap box.
Yeah, slap we box slap box a Jesus. Lot.
Hey, slap box is a worldwide thing, my friend.
Okay, I just want to, I mean, someplace, sometimes, when you say your name, didn't so. But Victor Ortiz remind me of one of them dudes that used to slap box with. And he always talking that trash, like, yeah, I got hands. And you start slap boxing with him. But once you catch him one time, then he'd be like, all right, I'm cool.
Yo, bro, come on now.
That's a boxer.
I'm like, damn, bro, I'm still in first gear. You wanna throw in the towel already, dog.
Yeah, you catch him one time, you hit him too hard, it's over.
Oh,
you're like, all right, I'm
good. No, you straight. All right, come on,
yo,
bro.
So, since we're talking about Victor Ortiz, can we start calling him Victor or Tears from?
You can. I ain't calling no professional boxer out of this. Mm-mm.
Hey, man. Nah. I mean, he just.
See, you got that complexion. Hey, there's that complexion for protection again right
yo,
now, bro.
Yo, now.
Now that I think about
it.
Look, you have the worst luck with interactions with boxers. Because didn't another boxer come you down? What's his name?
Galata.
Galata?
Oh, no. So here was the thing with Galata. Galata is a very abrasive person to begin with. So he is also 6'5" and fucking ripped. So pause. And he was sitting in the same row as me at the Fanfara fight because I finessed my way to the front. And anyway, so I went up to the people near him and I was like, hey, you know, you're famous. Can we get a picture or autograph? And he looked at me the same way that, like, Vasily Lomachenko's dad looks at someone before he does his assassin thing to him, and he was like, no. And the power of the way that he said no, I was like, all right, he really means it. But no. But no. So
anybody fucking remembers you. I bet if you told him, hold your nut, he probably would have. No, he probably would have fucking punched him right off. He would have
Well, so here's the thing, P. Golada doesn't fight anymore, and for me to say that to someone, I need to know that there is at least 8 to 10 million coming back if they're going to break every bone in my face. Because Golada is a bad motherfucker. And
hey.
What's up, Al?
Before we keep going, speaking of getting face broken in, next Saturday, there's been a little
who's
next
fighting?
I think
some guy.
I think we need to worry more about his ribs getting broken in than his face getting broken in.
Yeah, some fight going on in Texas next Saturday.
Yo, y'all don't need to put those bad thoughts out about Mr. Spence before it happens.
Man, listen.
I don't
talk tough, and Spence not my fighter, but your boy Mikey about to get that Bane treatment.
Oh yeah,
though. Like he about to get that Batman. Yeah.
For real, definitely.
I think
Spence that type of fighter you can do that with. Spence that type of fighter we could talk real tough with. I feel comfortable talking tough when I got Spence showing up.
If you was a casual, if you was a casual and you were just watching the Fox build up, you'd be like, oh shit. But nah, you ain't fooling me, brother.
Let me take the floor for a minute.
No, hold on. You done floored it a lot tonight, damn it.
Hey, man.
Right, especially about Mikey Garcia. We'll be going into episode 29.
Yeah. You saved that for next.
Right.
But
we just tapping on it right quick. Pause.
But, you know, before we get into that, you know, not even get into it, what are y'all plans for the fight?
I'm going to be watching it right at home.
The pay-per-view, I got to find a I got to see what I'm going to do that week, where I'm going to watch it. I'll be
definitely watching that pay-per-view here.
What you doing, Smoke?
So what's it called? One of my very best friends is coming in that weekend from Salt Lake City, and she has never. I don't want to say that she's never watched boxing before, but she is going to get the introduction at the Garcia Spence fight. So we're going to the theaters. We're going to have our cartridges on deck. And that's just how you live. And then after that, we're going to go out and celebrate a possible Mikey win? Question mark at the end.
I'm probably going to be at Dave and Bet, my very favorite spot to go watch people.
David Busters.
Although David Busters has been trying me because the last couple of pay-per-views, I haven't been able to get a fucking seat at the table to watch it, because like it's like now they're doing like first come first serve, and the last time I went like I waited for an hour for a seat, only to see a table and have somebody like lightweight push me out the way and dive into the table, and I came this close to hitting that motherfucker with sweet tin music. I was this close, but I'm like.
Yo, shout out to my boy P for having confrontations with his coworkers all the time, just like I do.
Shout out to our viewers too, man. Shout out to Rose Davis.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tony Yayo.
Yep.
Shout out to
Hey yo.
I know that's your people's mall. Shout out to is that your sister? Shout out to showing love too, man.
But that Pot Roast Davis, that's like my little brother, man. That's my best friend right there, man. That's one of my best friends right there.
Shout out to him, man. I love, man.
Yeah, and just a little bit after that, I want to say shout out to all our people, whether they be in Hungary, shout out to International Res, or whether they be in Hawaii.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit, I didn't even say what the hell I'm going to be doing for this fight. I'm going to probably go to my sister's house. I'm taking a laptop down there, the older trusty down there, and doing a little flim-flamming, and we'll watch the fight.
Okay, yeah, that's what's up. Definitely got to see that. Yeah, I was thinking about going live, but I don't know.
I'm going to be in the theater. So
you better be far away, because you definitely don't want to get no live action with the Spence monster coming through.
So
they're going to want to be on live then.
Yeah, I'm going to smoke that work after the fight, bro. You my dog. You my man, 100 grand, but you got to catch this work, bro. You got to.
So here is the thing that they are alluding to, and by they I mean news and the Golden Voicemail. Actually, before we got on air, I told Mal that if Spence washed, not beat, washed Mikey Garcia, that he would get some flowers, paws, and it would be, you know, a good bet for him. But the whole thing is, I have always said that Spence is going to win. It's just every single day I see more from Mikey where he can make it an extremely difficult fight. And if he does it the right way, here's the thing.
Excuse me.
He could beat Spence if he fights a perfect fight, and I will not get into the specifics until next week, but it's definitely possible.
Well, you sound like you wishing on a star. You know,
No, I fully prepare for Mikey to lose the fight.
Bro, just don't be like, oh, man, damn, my phone went dead after the fight, bro. Because I'm coming at you now.
Mal, Mal.
Damn, my phone.
Mal, have literally.
Nah, you know I'm fucking with you, dog. You going to be there. Nah, man.
Yeah,
we going to go live.
Yo, I'm going to be busting a move in the club, and y'all gonna be hitting up my phone like, what'd your boy Mikey do?
I'm gonna whatever club you in, I'm gonna have the DJ in my pocket, because he gonna stop the music and be like, what free smoke at?
Yo, so here's the thing. I'm gonna tell you where I'm gonna be at. I'm gonna be at a place called Punch Bowl Social in Denver, getting the fuck down. And you know what?
Oh, that's what's up. I like the Punch Bowl Social.
Yeah, and so, yo, shout out to Punch Bowl Social. Shout out to my girl that's coming through that will watch the fight and then go out to do the dance thing. But here's the thing. I think that the fight is 60-40, and I have always favored Spence. But like I said, every single day I see more reasons where Mikey can win. All that being said, what's it called? I don't play no games when it comes to my word. So, like, if I said that Mikey's going to do really well and make it a hard fight, and he gets embarrassed, shit on me.
Mikey has about the same chance of beating Spence as the Knicks landing Durant and Kyrie, but that's a whole other story.
Well, I'm going to say this, P. And I'm going to say this to everyone listening and all my boys. If you guys think this will be an easy fight for Spence, you are looking at it in the wrong way.
All right.
Next week.
And I'm about to let news go ahead and take this home. I'm sorry, everybody. We went over a little bit. We just got a little bit animated into it as usual, but
we're going to
table this.
We good.
But well, let me ask. Well, hold on. are we going to well, next time everybody will be hearing for us is Saturday night, correct?
I'm going to be in Utah, so.
I'm going to be in Utah. We'll see. We'll try to be live. We'll definitely try to be live for that fight.
Yo, so in Utah, I don't even think it's legal for them to show black people on TV unless they're playing for BYU.
There we go.
So, I mean, hey, I had to put it in. And I'm white.
News, wrap it up. News, wrap it up. The purple, right. What do you got? The purple.
All right, y'all. It's another episode of the Fade Hour, episode 28. It's your boy News. Here with my boys, Maul, Smoke, P, representing Bruising Boxing, Free Smoke Boxing, Bodega Boxing. Again, it's your boy News, representing Ringside Rave All Day. Appreciate y'all stepping in, having a drink with us. We out.
Hey, News, before we go out, can I say one thing to the people?
Go ahead, Smoke.
Bomb Squad!